Hey, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. We have a jam-packed episode. We start with the left's call to arms, Mayor Lori Lightfoot causing a stir online, saying it's time for the left to take up arms against these pro-life warriors. What is behind this? Who is the shadowy group Ruth sent us? Where do they come from? What is their track record? And much, much more. We have a absolutely jam-packed episode, along with the great Carol Markowitz, New York Post columnist, New York City refugee. What does she have to say about education, our children? Did the lockdowns work? Of course they didn't, but she has insights explaining just how badly they failed on multiple levels. You're not going to want to miss it. The great Carol Markowitz joins us. Everybody, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com.
We're going to lead the show today with Lori Lightfoot because it's just shocking what's going on regarding some of these hysterical left-wing reactions to the leaked SCOTUS opinion by Justice Alito. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, I'm reading from the Post-Millennial, issues call to arms over U.S. Supreme Court. Lightfoot tweeted Monday night, to my friends in the LGBTQ plus community, the Supreme Court is coming for us next. This moment has to be a call to arms. She followed that up with, we will not surrender our rights without a fight to victory. Now, what makes this particularly appalling is if you contrast Mayor Lightfoot's tweets with that of her tweets around January 6, 2021, during which she tweeted, I am in disbelief with what is unfolding in D.C. right now. President Trump and his enablers incited this violence. Shame on every elected official in Congress and elsewhere who fomented this anti-democratic insurrection by extremists. This is not democracy. This is a disgrace. So what's good for the goose should be good for the gander here, Miss Lightfoot. And by the way, for those wondering, yes, Lori Lightfoot is, she's gay. That is part of her story. So one side puts out a call to arms and it's completely okay. Another side, and by the way, we're going to pull some tape here in just a second of some of the myriad examples of the left calling for a actual physical call to arms. So they do it, and it's crickets. It's crickets in the mainstream news media. Meanwhile, we have receipt after receipt after receipt of them saying that when the right does it, it is somehow an insurrection. So, Miss Lightfoot, are you calling for an insurrection? Are you calling for a call to arms, as you say? I guess you are. Take them at their word. This is an appalling turn of events. The Senate, to their somewhat credit, I will not give them full credit for this, but some credit is deserved. They have approved additional security for the Supreme Court justices a little late. But let's talk about this. Clip 36. I'm going to play this montage of Democrats saying the word fight. Now, before we play this, remember, this was their reason for attacking conservatives, for attacking President Trump, because he used the word fight. Now, before January 6th, when people would use the word fight, it was just considered a political turn of phrase. But then they said, no, not with President Trump. President Trump was using the word fight because he was calling for violence at the Capitol. But Like I said, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander. Cut 36.
But we Democrats are fighting as hard as we can. Democrats are fighting as hard as we can.
Credit it in any way, but we're fighting back.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box.
We each have an important role to play in fighting. And this fight, like so many before it, it has been a fight. The American people are going to have to fight.
That is the guiding purpose of House Democrats, fighting.
All right, so fighting is part of their parlance. All right, but what about the same standard that they applied to President Trump? Cut 35.
The implication of the president's tweets, the rally, and the speeches were clear. President Trump used the word fight or fighting 20 times, including telling the crowd they needed to fight like hell. Trump was telling them to fight, and he would keep telling them to fight throughout the rest of his speech.
So I don't know about you guys, but the left loves to play with words, and I find it to be reprehensible. And if we don't call out their double standards, if we don't call out their hysteria, if we don't call their illogical nonsense, in times like these, we will lose sense of the truth. Now, if anybody's been paying attention to Mayor Lightfoot's Chicago, I think it's very clear to say the last thing we need in Chicago is a call to arms, whether it's from the LGBT community or not. The city is rife with crime, rife with murder, rife with gun violence. But she's not alone. I want you to remember this clip, cut 46, and just realize that on the issue of abortion, the left becomes completely unhinged. They become completely unhinged. And it's not just Lori Lightfoot. This is cut 46. Do you remember this clip when Senator Schumer himself, the leader of the Senate, said that he was going to bring a whirlwind upon Kavanaugh and Gorsuch? Play cut 46.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So this is the left. We say that a lot. This is the left. A call to arms, says Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Chuck Schumer, you won't know what hit you, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh. You know what's interesting as an aside? They have been saying that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh lied to them in their Senate confirmation hearings. And yet, looks like Chuck Schumer knew all too well how they would probably rule on Roe v. Wade, on overturning it, in this case, via Dobbs. They're overturning it because it is bad law. It is simply bad law. It does not align with the Constitution. We had Josh Hammer, the opinion editor at Newsweek, also a lawyer, explain why it's bad law. They established a precedent of privacy that is nowhere in the Constitution. But instead of allowing the Constitution to play out via the Supreme Court, the left is calling this an attack on democracy. In reality, theirs is the attack on democracy. Theirs is the attack on the rule of law. Theirs is an attack on the institutions that undergird the United States of America. Democracy would be this. Engage in the messy battle to legislate for abortion. If that's what you want, try and legislate it. But you don't want that, do you? You don't want that because it's messy, because it's difficult, because you may not get the result that you want. So how dare you, Lori Lightfoot? How dare you, Chuck Schumer? The whirlwind is coming, and you brought it upon us.
The fight for the unborn is raging in our country, and an unprecedented leak from the Supreme Court indicates that Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being overturned. During this critical time, a new movie is about to release. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life will be in theaters nationwide for two nights only, May 16th and May 17th. If you care about protecting the unborn, this is a movie you will not want to miss. Go to fathomevents.com right now to reserve your tickets for a theater near you for May 16th or May 17th and have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life. That's F-A-T-H-O-M events.com, fathomevents.com. This is a battle taking place in America. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. F-A-T-H-O-M events.com, fathomevents.com.
So I want to bring up another one of these shadowy left-wing groups that are behind so much of this violence, so much of this, we call it protest, which is, as we mentioned yesterday on the show, completely illegal. To be intimidating federal judges is completely illegal. The evidence is clear. The laws are very clear. Yesterday, we talked about the group Rise Up for Abortion, which is really just a front for a shadowy revolutionary communist party group, a Maoist organization founded in the 60s by Bob Avakian. Now, interestingly enough, some on the left don't like that group because they call it a cult, which seems very apropos. Another group that's actually getting probably more attention because they were the ones that actually doxed the 5 out of the 6 conservative justices, Samuel Alito, Amy Coney Barrett, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, is a group called Ruth Sent Us. Ruth Sent Us is asking activists to target Supreme Court justices who may overturn Roe v. Wade with demonstrations at their private homes. Now, can we just state it as a simple, clean fact here that you should not protest at private homes. You should not confront or get in their faces, as Maxine Waters says, when people are out in public with their families. This is not appropriate. If you don't like somebody, you vote them out of office. If you don't like somebody, you can go on Twitter and say something mean and nasty to them. That's fine. And there might actually be free speech on Twitter moving forward with Elon Musk taking down. You do not, and I repeat, again, do not protest at private homes. I think it's just important to say that it's idiotic. It's stupid. If you're a conservative and you're considering protesting in front of, I don't know, Justice Kagan's house because you think and suspect that she or one of her clerks were the leaker, don't do it. Stop. It looks bad. And it's just frankly immoral. So Ruth Sent Us is... obviously it's named after Ruth Bader Ginsburg, although I don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg would appreciate the tip of the hat. Stipends are being paid to artists who joined the march, and payments and compensation were offered to protesters who came to Washington to disrupt the constitutional proceedings at the Senate to confirm Brett Kavanaugh in 2018. So this group has been doing this for a while. But this is what's always so interesting about these left-wing groups. Now, the left loves to rail against dark money groups. Dark money is where you can't see the name of the donor. But they're probably the best at it. So the group's leadership remains concealed on its website. And they have redacted information related to its owner's purchase. So Ruth Sent Us is this very shadowy organization that is harassing and terrorizing the Supreme Court justices, the conservative Supreme Court justices. As I said, it's appalling, it's disgusting, but it is happening.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, 6 pieces of towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-875-0425 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Again, that is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. My friend Mike Lindell has this offer coming. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. Again, you'll also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. So check it out right now, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
I'm so excited to welcome our guest, Carol Markowitz, from formerly of New York, but a New York Post columnist, now a Florida resident, right, Carol?
Very proudly. That's right.
Yeah. Well, so welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. You have been a massive, massive advocate, I would say just in a general sense, for families, for family values, for children. And, you know, first of all, just on the heels of Mother's Day, you know, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. You
have been tremendous on this issue of students, of fighting for education the way it should be in class without a mask. So I want to get into that in just a second. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who don't know Carol or her background, Carol is about as New York as you can imagine. Carol helped run. I said this to her when I saw her recently. I said, you basically ran PR in New York, and she's like, how did you know that about me? I was like, Carol, you're famous.
It's how all did right. you?
Yeah. Well, I have my sources. So, but you are Miss New York, and what we're seeing, I want to start with Roe. Obviously the leaked decision from Dobbs, we're seeing massive protests across places like New York City and LA, but in New York specifically, we saw St. Patrick's Cathedral experience a protest. Tell us what's going on. What are you hearing from your friends that are still in the city?
It's just so unfortunate that these political protesters who, you know, please protest away, how they're really overstepping the line, going into these religious spaces, threatening religious leaders, threatening the justices, protesting outside the justices' homes. I think all of this is so beyond the pale. But like for me, I think one of the topics that I talk about a lot is forced conformity. Like you must be one way. And I was born in the Soviet Union. I grew up with the idea that forced conformity is like the worst thing that you can live through. And that you should be careful of it. You should watch out for it. And I see it all the time now. I think that we've gotten to where there's only one acceptable opinion and it has to be delivered in a very narrow way. And when it's not, like we get riots in our streets and, you know, behavior like we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, and New York's a very interesting place, I would say, religiously, in the sense that there is a sense of forced conformity. There is a sense that this is a secular bastion, and we'll tolerate your religion, you know, but keep it off to the side. We don't want to get into the messy middle of our political or social lives. And you saw this again in a column that you wrote for the New York Post about what happened to Governor DeSantis. Your piece in the Post is titled "When New York City's Jewish Museum Bans DeSantis, It Sends a Clear Message to All Jews." And apparently, this was the Manhattan's Museum of Jewish Heritage canceled a planned JLC Jewish Leadership Conference event because Florida Governor DeSantis was an invited speaker. Tell us what happened here. What do we know, and why is this even acceptable?
Yeah. So this really great organization called Tikva was having an event and they were renting space at the museum. And when they told them that Governor DeSantis of Florida was going to be one of the speakers, the museum canceled the event and wouldn't let them go forward with it. And it's so gross to me that they would do that, because I think of Governor DeSantis as such a friend to Jews. I think of Florida as a place that defends Jews, that does not allow violence against Jews to just go on unabated the way I think it did in New York for a long time. It's a real problem for me that a museum of Jewish heritage is disqualifying somebody from speaking there on the basis of their political opinions. And it doesn't escape my notice that I share a lot of those political opinions, so they must not welcome me either. And I heard from so many other Jewish conservatives and Jewish liberals who say, I don't like this. I don't want this. This is scary to me that your political opinions can have you barred from a Holocaust museum. I mean, that's really where we are right now, where if you don't follow the exact line, you're not welcome at the Jewish, you know, Museum of Jewish Heritage, Holocaust Museum. It's just really crazy.
So they were stating that it was a contractual and logistical decision. Does that Makes sense? I don't.
No. No, it doesn't. And in fact, you know, back to my PR background, I have massaged a statement or two in my day. I understood what they were doing with their very particular language, where they were like, oh, no, Governor DeSantis is totally welcome to come buy a ticket and come see our exhibit. You know, like, that's not the concern here. So, they can say whatever they want. I believe the TIFA Fund. I believe the article that was written by the two co-presidents of the organization in the Wall Street Journal. They had a lot of detail. They had names. I absolutely don't think that Elliot Abrams just made it up. So if it wasn't true, then the museum could say, oh, please come speak, Governor DeSantis. Like, you're welcome to come speak. But they're not doing that. They're saying, buy a ticket, come see our show.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as somebody who has a PR background myself, I think this language is simply a contractual and logistical decision. It sounds like somebody consulted legal, right? I mean, if they said, well, yeah, actually, we just don't like conservatives, then they were going to open a can of worms.
Right.
Anyways, it's shocking what's happening. It's shocking that this is okay. It's shocking that this is okay in the what should be the greatest city on planet Earth. I know, mm-hmm. I know you probably love it like a drunk uncle. I mean,
it's like perfect way to phrase it.
I usually say like an
ex-boyfriend, but sure. Like a drunk uncle.
Drunk uncle, right? Like charming, but just like unbelievably inappropriate at many times. So, I mean, here's the thing. New York, you left because what they were doing to children. Now, I think we cannot separate what the left does to children, either pre-born children, and they're very willing to discard them, to protest in these insane ways, to invade churches. And I live in California. They're invading churches in Los Angeles, cathedrals in New York. We cannot divorce that from how they treat them when they're in school. You left New York because of what was happening with remote learning. I want to play a cut here that I think is just really poignant. Cut 49. This is a little girl talking about how she just can't take it anymore, being separated from her friends. 49.
What life are you living?
Mask on, going in the store, not be able to touch anyone or anything. I can't be in school, and I can't see friends, and I especially can't see family. So it's hard.
Yeah. Do you miss school?
Yes, I miss school very much.
How could we do this? Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to watch something like that. I have three kids. I know what they went through. And look, my kids are lucky. I did whatever we could to get them out of the situation, out of New York. We lived in Florida last year for 4.5 months, sort of as a test run, but also to just give them full-time school, which we didn't have in New York. So all the kids that were just left with, you know, no education, with being on their remote devices all day, and who knows how well that went for so many kids, not being able to see each other's faces. I mean, all of this is so obvious. I mean, any parent will tell you that they know what kids need, and hiding them away from the world for 2 years is going to have a real impact on their future. I didn't used to write about kids all the time. It was just when I saw this very sharp attack on children during COVID that it became sort of my topic, because it was so obvious to me that we were destroying the lives of American children en masse. And I couldn't look away, and I couldn't stop writing about it. And my editors at the Post were great and let me hit the topic a lot. But that's how I became somebody who is an advocate for children and a writer about children's issues. It was because I saw the damage that was being done to girls like her.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your work is being noticed a lot. I see you on Fox News. I see you on other outlets a lot talking about this very issue. You know, the New York Times came out with a newsletter. It breaks down the ruinous school closures. Remote learning was a failure. It asked the question, were many of these problems avoidable? The evidence suggests that they were. I mean, this reminds me of, you know, people going to, you know, fancy colleges to get degrees that don't matter, to study stuff that, you know, they can't get jobs in, to impress people they don't like. I mean, there's only people dumb enough to come to this conclusion 2 years into this are highly educated, ignorant New York Times columnist, and that, you know, at least they're saying what we've all known since April of 2020. Mm-hmm. But it's just shocking how slow to the punch they are. And this is what we see so much in media, is that conservatives are calling it out. We're waving our hands in the air saying, stop. This is destroying not only the economy, but our children, the next generation. Yeah. And it takes the media 2 years before it's like socially acceptable for them in their circles, the cocktail parties, to say what we all knew and what was so commonsensical, right?
Right. I have a friend, Mary Catherine Hamm, who calls it the now it can be told. Like, now it can be told, you know, 2 years after the fact, that obviously not going to school might have some, you know, deeper impact on kids. We haven't even reached the conversation yet about what it's meant for toddlers to cover their faces. Toddlers are today in May 2022, still masking in New York City today. What is that going to mean for these kids who learned how to speak through a mask, who learned how to convey emotions through a mask, who learned how to understand emotions through a mask? All of this is going to have long lasting damage. I look forward to the New York Times article in 2 years about how messed up these kids are. And then we could all believe that it's true.
Let's play Cut 51 talking about this exact thing. Cut 51.
Yeah. So first of all, remote learning has been a disaster for America's kids. And I think we have to acknowledge that. And we have to do everything we can to minimize any further remote learning. Even without those other upgrades, which I would like to see, it still is safe to, for kids and teachers to be back in school. So I think at this point, there's really no good explanation for having remote schools.
So now it can be told, Carol. Is this what you're seeing?
Yeah. And, you know, the explanation was very obvious. The teachers union did not want in-person learning. Any locality that was under their thumb listened to them. Randy Weingarten personally wrote policy for the CDC that kept schools closed. And this is why kids didn't get to go to school in person in so many areas, period.
You're absolutely right. I think the collaboration between the teachers unions and their presidents like Randy Weingarten and the administration is something that we don't fully understand the extent of, just how deep it goes.
Have you ever heard of American Wagyu? No, it's not a superfood that will make you live forever or the name of a newest TikTok dance, terrible app. It's some of the sought after best beef in the world, and I can get you 2 free pounds of it. Look, I had the Wagyu here. It is unbelievable. For a limited time, Good Ranchers is giving you 2 pounds of American Wagyu burgers for free with my code Kirk. I'm telling you, these burgers, if you have anyone mad at you, just give them one of these burgers. It's what I call reconciliation. That's how good these burgers are. Let me tell you, this stuff is incredible. Not only is it the best burgers I've ever tried, but my wife and I, we're even thinking about making tacos, meatballs, and producer Connor, he's cooking it at 3:30 in the morning. At 3:30 in the morning, he's cooking Wagyu. And when you add Good Ranchers Wagyu, it makes everything better. If you do not know this, Good Ranchers sells 100% American meat that is steakhouse quality. That means you can visit goodranchers.com/Kirk to get a box of American meat and get 2 pounds of free American Wagyu burgers. Free shipping added to your order. Trust me when I tell you, the perfect way to kick off summer is with these burgers and everything else they sell. From boxes like the Rancher's Classic, their best-selling combo of beef and chicken, and their new prepper kit. That's right, they got a prepper kit to help you stock up on food to make sure you have the security you need. Everything is delicious and high quality. With meat prices soaring, I love that when you subscribe, you lock in the price and get $25 off every box. So as long as you're subscribed, your price will not change. 2 pounds of free Wagyu burgers and zero inflation. What are you waiting for? Go get both with my promo code Kirk. If you don't buy the meat in your house, then tell the person who does to grab 2 free pounds of Wagyu burgers today before they're gone. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk.
Let's talk about Randy Weingarten for just a moment here, because she's really been front and center so much of the time during COVID and lockdowns and everything that's happened to our kids. Let's play Cut 18. I'm going to have you react to what she says. Cut 18.
Our kids are in crisis. And we had a mental health crisis before COVID, but with, and Dr. Eng will talk about this far better than I do, but for 2 years of disruption, 2 years of looking at the screens, 2 years of not having a normal kind of routine and rhythm, recovery is really tough.
the arsonist is like, oh my God, the house is on fire. You know, it's just like listening to her is so infuriating. Like, you did this, lady. It was you. It was specifically you, because not all kids didn't go to school for 2 years. It was only kids in districts that listened to Randy Weingarten that didn't get to go to school. So it literally is at her feet, this whole problem. And she's like, gosh, what happened? Somebody did something really bad here. Who was it? It was her.
This is, you know, we call this Chicago style union politics, right? Where they go break the window and then their union guy gets to fix the window, right?
Right.
So so they just happen to show up the next day with a contract. You know, this, you're absolutely right. And they're still demanding more money. And I didn't know, Carol, that they were still masking toddlers in New York City. That's offensive to me.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I think a lot of people just assume that nobody would be crazy enough to keep doing that. But no, New York City's like, we're crazy enough to keep doing that.
I know. New York City's like, we're going to just get rid of logic altogether. Meanwhile, you've got stadiums full of people gathering to watch sporting events and
right, but
you know, basketball.
They're only safe because the two-year-old is masked.
Right, exactly. And all the teachers got billions and billions in funding that we'll just never see again. And by the way, we're just spending money out the wazoo right now. We're going to send another $40 billion to Ukraine, but that's another story for another day. But listen, I want to finish this segment with you, Carol, and talk about, okay, you left the city. What is your message to people like me that still live in communist bastions like California and New York City? If you are either someone who's open-minded, let's say you're kind of more of like the Joe Rogan, Bill Maher kind of, yeah, you know, middle people that are like, this is insane, everything that's happening. What happened to common sense? Or you're just a conservative. What do you do if you're still in the city? What do you do if you're in these liberal bastions?
So you have a couple of options. Look, I fought for a long time. I fought and I fought and I fought. But then I saw that my six-year-old was falling behind. And no matter how much I fought for him not to be masked in schools, he had been masked the whole time he had been ever in school. I saw that he was just not doing well. And I needed to get my kid out of the situation. So I would say, fight. And if you have to leave, then you have to leave. Childhood is short. You can fight and continue to fight, but you have to get your kids to a better situation if you're in a bad one. And if your kid's school is not teaching them appropriately, if they're learning, you know, if CRT is being used, if they're learning gender ideology instead of math, if all of this is happening at your school, you have to get your kid out. And that's really where you have to kind of draw the line. That, yeah, you should stay, because you should fight as much as you can, but your kids only have one childhood.
I think that's really well said, Carol. I think the message of this show, I think of everything that's going on today, whether it's from Roe to lockdowns, we're finding out that, you know, obviously we knew all along that it was an unmitigated disaster, this remote learning, is our children have to be first. If we want to talk about the values that make, I would say, conservatives, it should be everybody, it should be common sense. Well, the values that make us who we are have to be reflected in how we approach the next generation. We have to strive to protect all life, unborn and born. We have to strive to protect children. We have to pass down our values to the next generation. And that's what I'm hearing when you're talking about it. It's like, if you're going to choose to live in these places that don't reflect your values, protect your children. We're not saying put them in bubble wrap. We're not saying put them in bubble wrap. We're saying protect their learning, their futures. Carol, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really great. Thank you.
It's an honor every time. We hope you'll come back soon. And we'll see you at Young Women's Leadership Summit.
Hey.
USA, Dallas.
Dallas.
June 2nd through the 4th. Yes.
We're talking Cowboys.
The break. Yeah. Maybe you could catch some Cowboy stuff. It's the off season, but whatever. Guys, thank you for joining us. That was a fun episode to record. Carol is a phenomenal, phenomenal person. She's also going to be at Young Women's Leadership Summit. She'll be joining us there June 2nd through the 4th, Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas. So please go to tpusa.com, hit the events tab to get your tickets now. It's not too late, but space is running out. We hope to see you there. And by the way, if this show is helpful, if this is one of your sources for information and news, please help support the effort. Go to charliekirk.com/support and pitch in. It means the world to us. Charlie will be on vacation this week, but we have more Charlie episodes peppered in throughout the week just to make sure you're getting your fix on Charlie Kirk. But we'll be back. More episodes to come. Lots happening. Thanks so much.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.